You're listening to Dig Deep on Northern Community Radio. I'm Heidi Holton with our liberal commentator, Aaron Brown, and our conservative, Chuck Marone. We're continuing this conversation about what the candidates who are running for District 8 think about these issues that we think stand out. That's mining, immigration, and healthcare. And now we're delving into immigration. Who do we start with here? Pete Stauber or Joe Rodinovich?
I think we should start with Skip Sandman.
Okay.
Because he's got the funniest line in the debate. And he's a Ojibwe, and whenever they ask about they had a debate where they asked about immigration, it had the Democrats that are independent and Pete Stauber during the primary season, and his comment was, immigration, huh? Basically, because his people were here before any
right,
of us.
Right.
So, and that I thought was an amusing line from him. I'll start with, since you started the last one, start with, I think the most telling thing about Joe Rodinovich's webpage is, and his issues page, is that you do not see his position on immigration listed there. Doesn't mean he doesn't have a position, though. He's commented on it, of course, in the debate I just mentioned before the primary. His comment was, and it's very similar to what the other Democrats in the primary said and what you'll generally hear from Democrats, is that he believes that illegal immigration has been a cultural issue, an economic issue for a long time, and that we need to have a system of legally bringing people whose families came here illegally into law-abiding status based on good behavior, based on economic contributions to the country, and that it's a good practice to do this because it benefits society, it brings in workers into the economy where they're needed, and it, generally speaking, is a good thing to rise people up to the middle class. And you can get into all the details there, but that's a position that you'll hear from Democrats, and Rodinovich more or less holds it the same as others. But it's a position that Republicans and critics of immigration policy would describe probably negatively as
amnesty,
right? And right. So maybe Chuck wants to talk about the Pete Stauber's position.
Stauber's position, and there's some, there's no nuance to this, but I think there's some interesting things to point out about it because it shows like the emphasis of the campaign. So I'm going to read from his website on immigration. He says, as a retired law enforcement officer, I believe we need to abide by the laws that are put in place and will support legal immigrants, and legal is in all caps, legal immigrants, who aspire to live the American dream. The interesting thing about this is that this is the Trump position. This is the Republican kind of core talking point on immigration with the added kind of law and order part thrown in at the beginning. Pete Stauber is a retired law enforcement officer. His speeches that I've watched on the stump all refer to this. And when you look at, and we've talked about this a little bit on the show in the past, when you look at the immigration issue, the Democrat or progressive liberals and conservatives tend to talk past each other on this. Because on the left, you tend to look at this as like a compassion issue. You look at an issue of the downtrodden, those who don't have the same level of opportunity.
The human element.
The human element. And so you see this as a, are you a compassionate person or not? And on the conservative side of the spectrum, you tend to look at this through a law and order lens. Are we following the rules? Are we doing things the right way? Yes, we want immigrants too. But we want them to follow the proper procedure and the follow rule. And then we'll embrace them with open arms. Let's stick to the law and order. And this really kind of gets into like a deeper existential, openness and willingness to change versus a desire to have, order and process and procedure and a hierarchy in a sense. I think that when you look at this notion of, as a retired law enforcement officer, I put my own comma in there, I believe we need to abide by the laws that are put in place. Another comma I'm going to add there. Those are two kind of fundamental conservative beliefs. We've created a system of laws. Those laws, if they're to have meaning, we need to follow them and respect them. Here's the laws in place. It's kind of like a signal to everyone like, hey, I'm a law and order kind of person. And that's the mm-hmm. kind of core Republican message. And I'll add to that, I think a lot of conservatives get confused by progressives who don't like who are I'm going to say triggered, and that's probably not the right word, but you know, that law and order kind of phrasing is not widely embraced on the left. You never hear people on the left going, you know, I believe we need to abide by all the laws put in place. Not that they think there should be anarchy and chaos, but that's not how they start a sentence. And so I think that this is designed to signal, like, very strongly in one sentence to your side, hey, I'm law and order first. And yeah, we're going to have some immigration after that. You don't have to worry about that, though, very much, because I'm very much about, like, following the laws. And that's what immigration is about to me.
I think it's really interesting. And let's focus on the word he capitalized.
Yeah, legal.
Legal. In other words, we support legal immigrants, but not the illegal immigrants who are breaking the law. I think the one of the underreported parts of the immigration issue is the terrible state of our legal immigration process.
Right.
And I would compare it to, if you can imagine, a yard, like a walled-in brick yard, and all these people inside the yard, and there's a ladder that goes halfway up the wall, but not all the way up the wall and over. And the position being, I support anybody who walks up this ladder and gets out of this place, they're fine. Anybody who digs a hole or makes a human ladder or makes a hot air balloon out of old linens and flies out of the yard any other way than that is illegal. And I think you accurately described the crux of the issue is that by the letter of the law, obviously, if that's the most important thing to you, you're going to probably come down on the side of Pete Stauber here. But if you're looking at all these human beings trying to make their way in the world, and you're saying, well, that's not a fair system, that's not a right system, and unless you're going to truly improve that ladder and make it better, then we have a responsibility to try to help the people getting out of their other ways. And that comes down to, like, so many issues these days, this psychological exercise and how you feel about things, how you feel about the world, your tendency towards authority or your tendency toward equality, and It's an impossible debate to have between an authoritarian interpretation of the world and some kind of empathy-based interpretation of the world, because they're talking about different sports, different rules, different protocol, and different, maybe not a different end game. We'd all like a lovely system in total balance where everybody is doing fine. I mean, I think everybody supports that on paper in a general sense. It's just that the means of getting to that are so dramatically different between those points of view that it's pretty remarkable. And it's one of those issues. I'm not going to say it doesn't really matter in the 8th District, because it does. There are people affected. But we don't have a lot of illegal immigration coming into Northern Minnesota. What we do have typically comes in really unusual forms, like a student who overstays their visa and builds pottery in the woods or something. You know, it's some weird thing more often than right. The traditional stereotype of a Latin American immigrant coming to work. We don't have the picking and the field work that you find in other parts of the countries where you see a lot of large groups of illegal immigrants. But nevertheless, it's something that's probably, if people were to get going on it, it's probably like a top five issue. People talk about it all the time. People are consumed by it. We're talking about it.
Right.
I think that's because it touches a cultural nerve. And that's really what these debates and these issue debates have come down to, is your cultural perspective.
I think it's interesting to ponder, like, what a policy would be from both, you know, Pete Stauber's statement and Joe Radina's just kind of lack of statement, but I think, you know, congruity with what Democrats in general have put forth on immigration. When we look at this last year, you were having the conversations in the executive branch about immigration reform. And this is where, if everybody remembers, we had the comment from the president that, well, we don't want people from those excrement hole countries. Remember when the mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. And the idea is what you're getting a look into there is the idea, and I think this is the cognitive dissonance of the Republican Party right now, is that we would like, and I'm saying we as like the Republicans would like to see like laws work well. They would like to see like, okay, here's like a clear process. Here's what the law is. You follow the law and bam, you're good. But when you actually dig into immigration, our immigration laws are such a mess and they're so disjointed from reality. And a little bit of that is intentional. Mm-hmm. Because there's a little bit of a sense that like we don't want to be overwhelmed with immigrants from excrement places. Mm-hmm. So instead of reforming the system to work, we're actually going to leave the system really messed up. And you know, I do think that that is one of those places where Republicans have made a determination that by focusing on this issue this way, and I think by leaving that part a little obfuscated, mm-hmm. They can create a lot of motivation in their base mm-hmm. to get out and vote. I don't necessarily agree with, I don't agree with DFL approach to immigration, particularly when you get to places where they're saying, you know, why do we have borders? And we've had this discussion before and you haven't said that. And we've had a good conversation. You know, there is something about being a country. And there is something about being like a sovereign state where you do have rules and you have processes. That's not what we have today. And I think this gets even like more pernicious when you start to dig into some of the kind of corporate donor aspects of both the Democrat and progressives, where there's a huge advantage to having a lot of cheap labor that comes in for free and is undocumented and non-traceable. And so that whole kind of, I guess what I'm saying is there's not a lot of real push to actually have a lawful, orderly system. And so the idea of calling for like a lawful, or, you know, follow the law and order is great politics. Like it makes mm-hmm. for a really good campaign issue. It doesn't make so good for governing. Like it's mm-hmm. not really like a policy that conflates with reality as it exists today in this country.
Right. And now we've come to a point in the debate where some very, you know, well-intentioned people have come very close to getting us some kind of negotiated solution to the lawful side. And it's always come down to the politics in the end. And now I think we're farther away than we were even 10 years ago to getting what you just described, a lawful system that both sides maybe they don't like parts of it on either side, but that both sides could at least embrace as, well, at least that's the law. Kind of like, like traffic violations and moving violations. We'll talk about that later. We may not like them, but people broadly understand why those laws are in place and why they are the way they are.
Let me defend like conservative minded people for a second, just very, you know, boldly. I think a lot of conservatives say, I welcome immigrants. Like I think we should be, mm-hmm. we're a country of immigrants. We should have immigrants. When people say that, like, yes, we stand up and stand by immigrants. Just follow the dang process. You know, mm-hmm. like I don't support coming here illegally, but I think we should have immigrants and I mm-hmm. think they should be a process and come in. I think one of the things that, opened my eyes, I have a really good friend from Holland, who became an American citizen, and he went through like the immigration process, and he said it was an absolute nightmare. He walked me through. And so this is not from an excrement hole country. This is from a country of, you know,
good wooden shoes
and, you know, good, like tall, blonde, you know, good looking people, you know, so like there's no, nobody's looking askew at my friend Rudy when he walks down the street. It's not a matter of that, but he's like, this process is totally broken. Like I could never, he basically had to get Representative Overstar step in and like individually make calls and push things through to get it to work. And this is someone who is a professional, you know, good earnings potential, highly educated, you know, married an American. Like there's a whole like mm-hmm. bunch of steps here. So we have a completely messed up system, and there's no kind of good mechanism on the right to actually talk about that, particularly in a campaign season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how will these candidates, or how have these candidates used this issue of immigration in a more salacious way? Maybe some of the people who are doing ads on their behalf, or what mm-hmm. are you seeing, or what do you think might happen before election time?
There have been plenty of negative ads, but I haven't seen many that relate to immigration yet. And we may or we may not. It's certainly something when they talk about it in debates or in those kinds of forums, Pete Stauber will use the, you know, we don't support amnesty or open borders line, and Radinovich gets to say, I support a process that would take into account the humanity of the people involved. I don't know that it's going to be one of those. It's one of those things that people, the voters, talk about, but that because both Stauber and Radinovich hold what you'd call party line positions on the issue, it's mostly about the broader index of whether or not I'm supporting Democrats or Republicans in this election, that where that'll come into play.
I agree.
Yeah. And as far as what it means and who it helps and all that, well, given President Trump's performance in 2016 in the 8th District, I think we'd say that on the whole, it's probably more of a winner for the opponent of immigration reform than the supporter of it.
The only nuance I'll put into that is that I think, you know, immigration as a policy throughout all the cycles of American history has really been closely tied to economic security. When Americans feel secured, empowered, when there's plenty of jobs and the economy is growing, immigration tends to go down on the list of issues. When there's economic insecurity, all of a sudden immigration goes way up. And there's a natural human element to that. There's also kind of an exploitative political element to that. The interesting thing right now is that because of the way our economy has been bifurcating, mm-hmm. You know, we have all the economic numbers are going in the right direction. We've got really low unemployment. We've got great economic growth. We've got, but then you look and you say families have higher levels of debt than they've ever had. They have less economic security than they've ever had. They're
income
working
stagnation,
more jobs, income
yeah.
stagnation. And so we have this very weird situation where we have macro level, like top line, great economic statistics, but at the household and family level, lots of economic insecurity. And to me, that suggests that if anything, this will trend more towards a let's be very law and order about immigration and have less rather than more.
Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, though, I think in this particular election, in the national mood, because President Trump is an unusual president and has...
You think so?
Yeah, a little bit. that's just the word I'm going to use today. He has taken very strong stances, also very maybe insensitive stances on people in this world. The blank hole countries comment that you quoted comes to mind. That you know, if people are just feeling, you know, more empathetic in response to that, this election, I think, it could help Democrats at least a little, or become a neutral issue, perhaps. But in the long run, this district is set up, as Chuck just pointed out, to probably become less inviting to immigration over the next 10 years than more so.
And not really a place where I think you're going to see a lot of immigration pressure either. Mm-hmm. I mean, Duluth, maybe, because it's a major city.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like there's an overabundance of jobs here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even like low level, entry level jobs, there's way more people to take those jobs than there are. You know, there's an excess amount of employment capacity here, and so it's not really a place that naturally attracts. Now, if we start
that's evening out though. I do think that's not as true. Okay. As it might have been just a few years ago, even there's more, especially in lower paying jobs. There's actually quite a bit of demand for workers, and some employers are having a harder time. Not all employers, because in the high paying jobs, yes, what you describe is true. But in the low paying jobs, there is kind of a market that's growing.
I think that's right. I think maybe the nuance I'm going to say is that I think you tend to get immigrant populations when you get concentrations of those jobs. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, You get a chicken processing plant, a poultry processing plant. You get Electrolux in St. Cloud, where you're doing really kind of low level rote manufacturing type things.
Right.
Screw this, you know, screw into this thing.
Well, and like logging and mining, that's how we got all the immigrant population 100 years ago.
But logging and mining are no longer that level of job. They're more sophisticated jobs.
Right.
They pay a higher wage. They require more skills. And so it's not like you can just import someone from somewhere else who maybe doesn't speak the language well or doesn't read or write and then put them in that position. There's a huge demand for people to clean hotel rooms and resort rooms, to work behind the counter at Supermerica and Holiday. They're having a really hard time finding people to fill those jobs. Those are not like concentrations
They're dispersed across the whole economy.
When you're an immigrant, you tend to move to areas where you can live in a community of people that you not only can, you know, kind of relate to culturally, but be self, you know, cross-supporting. You watch my kids while I go to work. We're going to have like three families living in one house. This is like the pushback on immigrants when it gets down to the block level. But really, the reason that works is because that's when you don't have any money, that's how you make ends meet. And that's how upstarts have always made ends meet in this country. We tend to not have in this region jobs where you can get concentrations of immigrants in one spot. And I don't see that changing in the near future.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, if things really get difficult in the tourism industry or in the food service industry or something like that, then you might see some interesting pressure, or as people maybe want to move out of a city environment, you know, a small town on the range becomes an opportunity for people to concentrate. And this is the really unpopular position that no candidate would touch, which is that there's actually an argument to be made that a little bit of immigration would be good for places like the Iron Range or some of these small towns because of the influx of people, schools and just the raw need for people to do some of those low-level jobs. But we know that the challenge is cultural and that people, for various reasons, react negatively to that.
Right.
You're listening to Dig Deep. We'll continue the conversation about Congressional District 8 in our next segment. We'll take up healthcare.